All right, folks, welcome to the Creation Science Hour. This is Kent Hovind talking to you live from Pensacola, Florida, and Jonathan Sampson is back with us in the land of the living. Barely, right, Jonathan?
I was in the land of the living yesterday, just not living too well.
And today you're better, but hurting for different reasons.
I was doing excellent this morning, but decided to jump off a 30-foot tree and into the water, of course.
That's better than onto the rock,
yeah.
Yes. Okay.
But I went head first and kind of hurt my neck.
Didn't hurt the water at all?
No.
No. That does that way. A lot of people in wheelchairs have done the same thing, John, and only the water wasn't deep enough. Okay, folks, if you're just joining us, this is Kent Hovind. We are those two guys and Jonathan here that believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. We think God made the world in 6 days, just like he said he did. And there was a big flood 4,400 years ago that completely rearranged the real estate and dropped everybody's property value to zero for a short time there. And we believe that dinosaurs have always lived with man. They used to call them dragons. There could be a few still alive today, which is why there are sightings like Loch Ness Monster. And we further believe the evolution theory, as is being taught in our schools, is one of the dumbest and most dangerous religions in the history of humanity. And those are the kind things to say about it. Now, Jonathan, can you get on the internet to our website? Is that up there about the debate this Thursday night? Is it on there?
I know that it should be on the website, but on the front page we have your Augusta, Georgia.
I speak in Augusta, Georgia, and fly there tomorrow, but then Thursday I go to UC Irvine, University of California, Irvine.
To debate Michael Shermer.
To debate with Michael Shermer. You sure it's on there?
It should be on the itinerary.
Yeah, make sure, because we've had trouble with a few links on our website. Of course, it's a totally new website, and they're always discovering links. If you find something wrong that won't work, make a list and email jonathan@drdino.com. jonathan@drdino.com and say, hey, this doesn't work, or that doesn't work, or you're a jerk, or we love you, or whatever, okay? Or if you're about 19 or 20 and single and want to serve the Lord the rest of your life, call us up. We'll fix you up with Jonathan. We're trying to fix him up with somebody.
Female.
And female. That'll be important, yeah. Okay. Here we go. We're going to read a few testimonies that have been sent to us and then take radio questions. And you can AOL instant messages if you want to be on the air. You can call in. Wait a minute. Diane here today? So she can call in live? I didn't check, John, if anybody's in there to answer the phone or not. Try it. If nobody answers, then nobody's there. We can't quite see in that building.
Your debate with Michael Shermer is on the website.
It is on the website.
Yeah.
Location and everything?
Yes,
how to
sir.
Get there? Good. Because I don't know how to get there either. Somebody picks me up and takes me and I do the debate. And Michael, looking forward to come out there. I want to get him converted. He's a very nice guy. He's just out fighting for the wrong team. That's all. It's kind of like Rommel, brilliant general, on the wrong side. Okay? On Hitler's side. Shermer is a very nice guy. But he's just on the totally wrong side. And I'm not sure why, but we'll try to get him converted this Thursday. And if not, we'll try again and later, and then we'll try again and try again.
Well, you debated him once before, I believe, in Missouri or Mississippi. No, it's Missouri, I believe, over
Minnesota.
At Emmanuel, Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah, sure.
Well, they're at Emmanuel Christian Center, and he's a very nice guy. He's very wrong.
But, very wrong, but that's okay.
He's nice.
Everybody has a right to be wrong.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's this Thursday night. Also upcoming this week, this summer, we have all kinds of activities at Dinosaur Adventure Land. If you want to come down here and see this place, you won't believe it. In Pensacola, Florida, Dinosaur Adventure Land. Plan your vacation. And we are putting together a list of places to see that teach creation and glorify God. I know somebody that has a science center and a museum in right near Mount St. Helens. And he gives tours of Mount St. Helens from a Christian perspective instead of all the evolution. I know I've got a list of maybe 10 or 15 or 20 places like this around the country. So if you know somebody who's putting together something to see that is worthy of a family taking a vacation to go see, and they're going to glorify God with it. Like a friend of mine owns a cave in Alabama, kind of like Carlsbad Caverns, only this one's in Alabama. And he tries to glorify God with this amazing natural attraction that he has. People come from all over, and instead of teaching the millions of years, they teach creation. So we have a list of those kind of things. If you have some ideas, you can send us. We'll add them to the list. It's going to be called our Creation Vacation Ideas. And it'll be free. People can download it off the internet, where to go with maps and all that stuff to it. Here's some questions. Let's see. First of all, testimonies. By the way, what else, Jonathan? Boot camp. This September, Creation Boot Camp. This is going to be awesome. This is our first annual boot camp. It's going to be Dr. Carl Baugh is going to be speaking from Glen Rose, Texas. And Dr. Jack Cuazzo, who wrote the book Buried Alive. You look like you're in misery, John. Your neck is hurting. You're squirming all over.
I feel like I'm in misery right now. It does hurt pretty bad.
Okay. Let's see, and also Dennis Swift from Beaverton, Oregon will be speaking on the Ica Stones. Amazing, amazing stuff. You're going to get to see Dinosaur Adventureland too. $50 for the whole conference. You can't beat a deal like that. There's a testimony from Cor, C-O-R, last name U-Y-S. How would you pronounce that one? U-Y-S.
Yes.
U-Y-S. I have no clue. U-Y. Doesn't matter.
U-E.
U. Man, that's a tough one. Here we go. Some combinations of letters simply cannot be pronounced. You know? Like P-S-S-S-S-S-S-T. Psst. That one you can handle. Okay, but some are like abbreviation for pounds per square inch, PSI. You know.
C.
PC.
They make very nice noises, though.
I see. Cor, U-Y-S, is in Zambia. Z-A. I believe that's Zambia. Doesn't matter. Cor writes in, we just wanted to say, we are so excited about your videos on creation evolution. Attached is an example of our way of passing the message on. We've printed 1,000 of these inlays. Let me look at the example here. Oh, what every Christian should know about creation evolution. See Dr. Hovind's website, drdino.com. No copyright. Please pass it on. No copyright. Wow. Awesome. Good looking flyer there, guys. It says, attached is an example of the flyer. We made 1,000 of them and want to get the CDs and the videos out to as many people as possible. We, my husband and I, and our two kids, Corey and Tahila, 15 and 17, are in children's ministry in South Africa. For 17 years this year. We call it a Maranatha land. A year ago, we started to make use of another puppet, an ape, in our ministry to get the message through that God is the creator and that Genesis, the word of God, is true. We've had our share of persecution already, but we don't care. I'm so glad we came across your videos. Now we've got more stuff to share. May you experience the God of Israel, our God's love and protection as he promised, from Cor. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate that. And keep up the good work spreading the material. Our material is not copyrighted purposely. Okay, here we go. Here's one from Annette Hunley, who says, dear CSC, as a Christian, I have for a long time been trying to reconcile dinosaur evidence with the Bible. Many fundamentalists believe that the whole fossil evidence is a hoax. I did not buy this, but had no ammunition with which to counter either this view or evolution. My brother-in-law showed us Dr. Hovind's videos, part of one. We bought the set and have been watching them every night. Thank you, thank you, thank you for putting this all together. It has been such a blessing. I feel like everything makes sense and that I now have bullets for my gospel gun. I'm putting your ministry and Dr. Hovind on my prayer list. May God richly bless your work. Love in Christ, Annette Hunley. Thank you so much, Annette. Jonathan, I'm sorry there are no frowny faces in here tonight. They thought you needed cheered up.
We will, without a doubt, have some within the next month. And I'm sure.
Last night, for the first time, since you put the new website up, I got on the website and looked at the testimonies.
Uh-huh.
The frowny faces that have a little thing that wiggles back and forth.
Yeah.
Elijah, have you seen that when people say negative things about our ministry?
Looking at it right now.
Look at negative testimonies. Yeah. It's you designed that in some kind of program, didn't you, Jonathan? The little man that jerks back and forth and steam comes out of his ears and... He's obviously upset with creation science evangelism. And believe it or not, we get a few folks that do that. Get really upset.
They actually make this face as well.
Oh, they make those faces? You should have seen them at Berkeley. Ooh, wow. I thought a couple of them were going to blow a gasket. There.
Well, I got to see about 5 minutes of the video, which will be for sale here pretty soon as well.
Is that
hilarious?
Isn't that funny?
Hilarious.
That's not edited yet, I don't think. Did I edit the Berkeley one? I did.
Ken Andrew was working on that.
Yeah,
well,
we're working on that. I got to do the other one.
How do explain dinosaurs?
I know. They can't spell or that's okay. Anybody believes they came from a rock needs help. That's why we're here, folks. Call in. We will help. Can we find out if anybody's on the phones, Jonathan? Here we go. Julie Burris writes in. I just thought that you would like to know that there are some bio majors that do not believe in evolution. I am one of them. I'm a freshman bio major taking zoology, a course that is often geared toward evolution. I spit out the stuff just so I can pass the class and move on. But I know that God created everything and that there are huge, huge holes in the theory. Makes for some interesting conversation when I tell others that I'm a Christian bio major. I also would like to thank you for showing me that I'm not the only weird one. Now, what does she mean by that, Jonathan? Thanks for showing me I'm not the only weird one. I mean, what would that mean?
I think she knows that I look weird.
And oh, she's talking about you, not me. Okay.
Yeah.
You look fine, Jonathan, except your neck hurts.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. I would like to thank you for showing me that I'm not the only weird one there, that there are other biologists who believe in creation as well. Julie. Thank you, Julie. I appreciate that. And that's it for the testimonies. I ask them to try to put 3 in there every day. We get hundreds. If you want to call in or write in, we welcome your comments. You can AOL instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. DrDinoLive. Here's one from Kevin Boysol. Boysol writes in, first off, I would like to say what a blessing the videos have been. They keep talking about these videos. I guess I better explain. Our video series, our seminar series, is 7 tapes, 17 hours, actually, on 7 tapes, all about creation, evolution, and dinosaurs. We cover things like the Garden of Eden, you know, why did they live to be 900, how to prove the Earth is not billions of years old, where dinosaurs fit in. A whole 3-hour video, one of my favorite, video number 4, is called Lies in the Textbooks. And then in video 5, the dangers of evolution theory, how dangerous this theory is. It's not just a dumb idea, it's dangerous. Leads to humanism, Nazism, communism. Okay, got to put a muffler on that thing. Oh, here's the muffler button right there. Look at that. Turn the speaker down. Okay. Here's Kevin writes in, thank you for the videos. And he says, I'm in Afghanistan with the Army. And these videos have touched many. However, when I had gentleman watch number one, a gentleman watch number one, he didn't care for it too much. I won't go into why, but the thing is, he tells me that I take the Bible too literally. For example, heaven being streets of gold. I literally take that the streets of gold. He takes that it's a place where people smile at each other and don't argue. Well, that would be streets of gold, all right. I mean, you can see the similarity.
I'm maybe sure the people smile together and don't argue as well. And, you know.
You don't think that's streets of gold?
I think there are streets of gold, but I believe they're probably both right.
They're probably standing on the streets of gold smiling at each other.
I'd be smiling.
I'd be smiling. Yes. And they don't argue. Yeah, that's good. I'm in favor of that. But this guy, he's wrong, Kevin. Kevin says, I asked him, how can you take one thing literal in the Bible, Jesus' crucifixion, for example, and not the whole? I'm wondering what to say to him. If I'm right, take the Bible literally, I believe, as I believe I am. It is hard to read when the line is 12 inches long. It's hard to follow with your eyes here, Jonathan. I'm working at it, okay? And if you do, so, do you have any questions on what I can say to him about this? I appreciate your time. Thanks once again for everything. God bless you, Kevin. Kevin, somebody who believes he gets to interpret the Bible, I guess, basically is what it boils down to. He doesn't like the literal streets of gold, therefore he's going to make up an interpretation. How do you handle somebody like that?
Well, you could actually point out, it's interesting that these aren't the people God chose to translate to the King James or anything. God chose the specific translators who did it exactly how he wanted it. You know, if I come along and say, oh, I don't think it should be that way, if I actually think I'm right, then why didn't God use me to do it, you know, that way? Does God want to deceive everybody into believing something that he doesn't want us to take literally?
Yeah, he promised he'd preserve his word.
Yeah.
Where is it?
It's right here.
Right here. We got it.
Let's be happy with it.
Cable. Oh, let me take some AOL instant messages here before I get too far behind. Savior's Witness writes in, yeehaw, I just looked at it. I don't think they watched the whole series, and they seem to be stupid in their facts. Evolution, anything but micro, is stupid. I think you definitely prove it. Yeehaw, Savior's Witness, is this referring to one of the debates? Which debates are online? Are any of those online?
The debates that are online, we have yours with Dr. Rainbow from
California.
Camp Antelope Valley College,
right.
And we also have the one, debate number 10, I don't know who it's with. It's with somebody.
Yeah, I knew that. We're adding 8 more debates over the next month, folks, if you like the debates, we have debate
it's
number...
6 more debates right now that have been advertised, but there's going to be 18 total, but I guess you have 2 more coming.
No, there'll be 20 total.
20 total?
Yeah,
huh?
eight more debates we're adding.
I need to fix the graphic on the website then.
Okay. Okay, break time, folks. See you after the break. And Cable, hang in there. We'll get to your question next. And then, Peter, you'll be after that. All right, folks. Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. This is segment number 2, and you are welcome to call in, I think. Did we ever check on it? I didn't look if somebody's in there or not. Lights are off? Maybe not. So you can call, but nobody... Sorry about that. Nobody may answer. Diane normally does that. I didn't... I've been gone all day, running around like a head with my chicken cut off, trying to get stuff done. And...
She's not online.
Okay. So just AOL instant messages. If you're listening to the program, apparently you can everybody just do that, or do they have to sign up with AOL?
They just have to download the free application from AOL.com.
Free application.
Yep.
Just go to AOL.com.
And AOL Instant Messenger will be on their website somewhere.
For free.
For free.
And then they got to find it and set it up or what?
Yeah. It's okay. Very quick, like 3 minutes.
Very quick. Okay. So if you can AOL Instant Message us today, that's the only choice at Dr. Dino Live. And Monday, Jonathan will be doing the program. So you can get all your hard questions ready and see how much he's learned.
I'm going to be sitting down, though, so the people won't be able to hear me up and walking around. I'll be sitting down because of my neck.
You normally get up and walk around during the program?
Actually, I do. I exercise, walk around, do some sit-ups, make a cup of tea.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Caleb says, Dear Dr. Hovind, we were discussing Stonehenge the other day in my geography class, and I became curious as to what your thoughts might be on how they got there, why they're there, and such. I couldn't find anything on your website about it, but I thought maybe I didn't look hard enough. Thanks, Caleb. Stonehenge is just a natural erosion feature. It took millions of years for the water to erode the rocks into that shape. Stuff like that rarely happens, but the chances of it happening once, I mean, there's at least one chance out of 40 bazillion that it happened. And
the existence of Stonehenge.
That's
proves,
the one.
Yeah.
It's there, so it must have happened by chance.
Exactly. Actually, I remember you doing a very serious discussion on this, and you pointed out that there was only two options as to when it was made. You know, a lot of people think there were
Stonehenge?
Yeah. Before the flood or after
Before the flood or after the flood. Probably not during the flood.
Yeah, probably.
I doubt it. I don't know. But I doubt it. Anyway, Stonehenge, I suspect, was built after the flood, probably within the first few hundred years, maybe, by somebody trying to preserve some knowledge of something or trying to have some kind of solar calendar or a giant sundial or just a huge place to play ring around the Rosie. They do strange games over there in England, you know. So maybe that's what it was all about. It appears that Stonehenge and Edexus and Amun-Ra are all solar observatories for what's called the summer solstice, the day of the year that is the longest, or the winter solstice, the shortest day. Now today, that is December 21st for the shortest day and June 21st for the longest day, sometimes 20th, but generally 21st. It used to be the shortest day was December 25th, which is why December 25th is still today a pagan holiday. Now people celebrate Christ's birth there. Which is probably not when he was born. I mean, I'm not anti-Christmas, you know, gonna go.
This basically has a totally different meaning among culture today.
The real meaning is different than what most people think.
Yeah.
Stonehenge is probably built to be a solar observatory to celebrate one of those days. I think it's
just like Easter or any other holiday.
Pagan holiday, right. I don't fight people that celebrate it. I don't mind, you know, singing praises and up from the grave he arose on traditional Easter a couple weeks ago, but it's a pagan holiday. Here we go. Peter Gallo writes in, I recently read an article discussing supernova. They said that the only reason we can see these distant stars is that they burn many times brighter just before they burn out. These stars would appear to be billions of light years away. How do I explain this to a skeptic? Okay, you're right, Peter, that the star supernovas are stars that apparently get much brighter just before they burn out. An analogy might be a light bulb that is about to blow. It'll get real bright for a few seconds and then poof, you know, blows up. Or a marshmallow. You stick a marshmallow over the fire. If you ever had the right kind of dad and mom and they taught you how to cook out over the fire once in a while, then you cook a marshmallow, you put it over the fire, and it swells up really huge. A star can, as it burns down to a certain amount, start to use up enough fuel that it has more heat than gravitational pull to collect it, I believe is the basic principle. And all of a sudden it swells up huge and then kind of collapses back into a black hole, is the theory. So stars can do that. We cover how to tell the distance to them, though, on video number 7. And on our website, drdino.com. That's under articles, isn't it, Jonathan? Drdino.com, articles.
We used to have a question and answer section and also an article section, but now we've basically condensed it into an article section. So it is underneath the articles.
But the articles is not just a main link off the front of the site. It's
should be under science and then articles.
Yeah. Why under science, not just articles? Oh, we can discuss all that other time. So you got frequently asked questions and articles here. Both go same place?
Yeah, I believe so, actually.
Frequently asked questions. I didn't see the Jonah article in there today. I was looking at that. You know, Dear Jonah, that letter that I wrote?
It should be in there.
One church canceled meeting. I couldn't find it. I even typed in the search engine.
Is it under Dr. Hovind's laptop or desktop?
Dr. Hovind's desk. Aha. Uh-huh. Jonah letter. There we go. Dear Jonah. Yeah, that's a good one. I want to refer to that in the newsletter going out because some of the criticism we got over what happened here last week with the raid, which, by the way, looks like it's going to be fine. We're going to be exonerated. That's the general plan here. Of course, the news media won't print that. They never print that stuff, only the bad, which is why I don't take the paper. And you know the other reason I don't take the paper.
You don't have a parakeet.
I don't have a parakeet. I don't even need to line the bottom of the page. And I don't fish. If I had fish, I need a mullet wrapper. You know, some people use it for mullet wrapper, but I can't think of anything I'd want to put in my head.
We're about to have a mullet toss down here at the beach. You know what that is?
A mullet toss?
That is when a lot of people get together and throw fish. See who can throw the fish the farthest.
This is like the VeggieTales movie, Jonah, the fish slappers, the fish. Did you see the movie, Jonah?
Yeah, he didn't want to go to that town because all the people were just so crazy they would slap each other with fish.
Yes, right, right.
Like, oh, my goodness.
Those VeggieTales, that's great. We're going to do that here, Dino Tales someday. Okay, Daniel Kilpatrick writes in, could the higher air pressure pre-flood in atmosphere caused by the water canopy cause the mist that watered the ground in the pre-flood days? If not, what caused the mist to be formed? David, the Bible says in the first 7 days that a mist went forth and watered the face of the ground. That's basically all the clues we have. Now, does that mean that was the water system all of the time in all of the world, all of the time before the flood? I don't know. I think so, but I couldn't prove it. I would say probably yes. The watering system was some kind of, you know, forced misting from probably subterranean water chambers like, you know, Old Faithful Geyser, only not on such, you know, one concentrated scale. But that would have just been guesswork. That whole world was destroyed by that flood. In the Bible, I cover what little bit we do cover on that on videotape number 2. Daniel, if you want to download that one. Daniel's second question. Genesis 1:2, where God says, the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. What is the definition for the Hebrew word moved? Does it mean vibrate, energize? What words can one use to tell others that God created gravitational, electromagnetic, and nuclear energy? I don't know, and I would be a little nervous about relying on the Hebrew when I think, you know, we have it clearly says God moved on the face of the waters. Movement, of course, indicates energy in general. So that's a good thought, Daniel. That's a deeper thought than I realized at first. I'm going to have to work on that one. Third question from Daniel. Genesis 1:8, God says, in the evening and the morning were the first day. Isn't that confusing? Sounds like evening and morning describe a night, not a day. Can you help me explain this to others? Yes, Daniel, in the Hebrew mind, the day starts differently than ours. It actually starts in the evening. So at 6 p.m., typically, it's already the next day. We wait till midnight to switch over to the next day in our thinking system and on our calendars and clocks, but that's not the way the Hebrews did it. So it was evening, then morning, then the daytime. That's kind of the sequence it would go. Actually, evening, night, morning, daytime. Who cares? Four cycle, not two cycle. Here we go. Daniel writes in a fourth question. In Hebrews 1:2 and Hebrews 13, the writer says that the worlds in plural. Can critics use that to say that there are more than one world in the universe and aliens, therefore? Help, Daniel. Ooh, Daniel, I'm sure critics can say all kinds of things, but God created the world in Genesis 1:1. I don't know that the worlds there in Hebrews or in the other passage could be construed to mean more people. Yeah, if you want to check that out, Jonathan, Hebrews 11:3 and Hebrews 1, verse 2. So when you find those, read them to us, and we'll get somebody else's question here. You can AOL instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive, or you can get on, let's see, how do I do that? Good. Or you can call us, I don't know if it'll do any good today, but 850-479-DINO, or you can come visit us. You can actually hand us a note, and we'll read it right on the air. Find it there, Jonathan? Hebrews? Okay. Okay, so Daniel, he's going to check on that worlds, word plural. As far as life on other planets, intelligent life, or any kind of life, I don't believe it. I mean, there may be, wouldn't matter to me, but that's a stretch.
Yeah, even if it does mean, you know, heavenly, it could just mean heavenly bodies or something, because there are plenty of those out there. We have the Sun, Neptune, Saturn, Venus,
yeah,
Earth.
Eight other planets, lots of moons, nearly 100 of them been discovered now. Oh, I see a granddaughter coming down the road, Jonathan. We got to finish the program quick. I'm really liking this grandpa stuff. You know, in 7 months, I'll have 4 grandkids, all under 3.
You've only got 2 arms.
I'll put saddlebags on them.
Well, actually, by that time, Stephanie and Kaylee will be old enough to just sit around your ankles and hold onto your legs.
They can sit around the ankle and hold onto the leg. That's right.
Your okay. moped ride's going to be a little difficult, though.
Yeah. Here, I'll give you this note. You can be looking at that, see if you come up with an answer for the world's one. That's an interesting question. But even if there are other worlds, that would not prove there's life on them. Okay? There are places on this world where there is no life. Okay, Brad writes in. Oh, I'm sorry. Here, I got a Savior's Witness writes in again. I just wanted to say thank you for the site. Looks great. You strengthened my faith and my way of thinking for the last 2 years as a Christian. Thank you again, both of you, also for this radio talk show. And I'll be praying for you and Jonathan's neck. Smiley face. Cool. Well, thank you, Savior's Witness. We appreciate it. Jonathan is tough. He will make it. He got to be tough to work around here because we get the atheists and skeptics and scoffers. There are people that just don't like us, Jonathan. We have got to be the nicest guys I've ever met. Okay, Brad writes in, what does it mean? What does it seem you are? Why? It's been a long day, folks, okay? I had to get up, Jonathan, before breakfast. Can you believe that? That was incredible. Well, there's a thought. Anyway, Brad writes in, why does it seem you are quoting the Bible as if it were scientific fact when it's nothing more than a novel? Well, let me stop right there. Brad, why would you say the Bible is nothing more than a novel when it's obviously scientific fact? I can turn that question around on you very easily. Here Brad goes on to say, the Bible says in Genesis 1 that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, so the surface of earth was covered with water. It could not have been a hot molten mass. Being the scientist that you are, I sincerely hope you realize you need much more proof than the earth was covered by water than simply pulling a quote out of the Bible. Brad. Well, Brad, you missed the point. If you watch video 7, where we talk about the radio polonium halos that have been found in granites all over the world, the Bible says clearly that the earth was created under water. You're exactly right. It was never a hot molten mass, according to Scripture. And yet, the textbooks in school teach the earth began as a hot molten mass. This is precisely the opposite of what the Bible teaches, and the opposite of what the facts show. Have you read anything about the...
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, we're no more guilty than they are. Everybody starts with an assumption.
Right.
Our assumption is the Bible is the inspired, inerrant word of God, and it's never been proven wrong. Their assumption, their dedication is to materialism, yet it fails so many times.
Right.
So why is he going to say, well, why do you believe the Bible, blah, 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 when we can just say, well, why do you believe materialism,
right.
blah, blah, blah. Nobody is...
They're both faiths.
Really.
Major difference.
Admit that ours is a faith.
Well, three major differences. We admit ours is a faith, they don't.
Quite a few differences.
Yeah. Quite a few differences, actually, yes. Ours makes sense. Theirs doesn't.
Mm-hmm. We have consistency.
Theirs is tax-supported. Ours isn't. I'm probably thinking more. We could add to that list. Forget it. Doesn't matter. Okay. Jan Smith writes in, hello, I've been obsessively studying creationism since I started homeschooling my kindergartner about 8 months ago. I always believed in God, but I was brought up being brainwashed by evolution in the public school system. I felt God calling me to homeschool for a reason, and now I am convinced it was to bring my family back to the Bible and to Him. The first few days of homeschooling, I opened the Bible and started reading Genesis. And then thought to myself, how can I read this to them and teach it if I don't believe it? Then I shut the book and prayed. I asked God to help me understand. And I knew... Sorry, folks. I'm having a hard time following the lines on the page here today. It's been a long day and my eyes hurt. Let's see. So I asked God to help me understand. I knew I wanted my family to be Christians, but I didn't want us to be superstitious fools as I was brainwashed to think. Well, miraculously, I asked and I received. God led me to creationism immediately. I have passionately pursued everything He has led me to read. I now know in my heart and mind that the Bible is true, and I can confidently teach my children to be Christians. My question to you is, how large is the movement for creationism? Why don't we have any shows on television, articles on the journals? Why do so few people know about it? Please don't stop your ministry. It is so vitally important. Which, of course, you know. Thank you. We appreciate it. Jan. Well, thank you, Jan. I do appreciate that. There are quite a few good creation ministries. There's probably the mother of all links to creationism is creationism.org.
Paul Abramson.
Paul Abramson. So his link, creationism.org, is got probably 150 links to other creation sites and a bunch of cool articles. including the largest collection I know of the flood stories.
Mm-hmm.
He collects these things and puts them on his website. He's got quite a bunch on it. You got to read through that sometime. Got some good.
Dwayne Gish, I believe, actually had a book that he compiled with 250 plus flood legends.
He mentions 270 flood legends. I think he only puts like four in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
It'd be a big book if there's 270.
It'd be a big one, yeah. Jeremy H-A-L-C-O-M-B, Halcomb writes in, "Hello, I've watched all your videos, and I remember that in one tape you said that there was a gap between first verse and second verse of the Bible, Genesis 1-2. How long was the gap?" Well, let me stop right there and say, Jeremy, that is the opposite of what I believe. I think the gap theory is retarded, silly, unnecessary, totally unscientific, and totally unscriptural. I have a little booklet which you can download off our website called The Gap Theory of All Things. So you can read that for yourself. Let's see. Also, he writes, "What would be a general statement that I could say to someone to prove that the world is only 6,000 years old? I was wondering those questions. Thanks for your time. Jeremy." Well, Jeremy, I cover quite a few evidences for a young Earth on videotape number one of our series. So go to seminar part one, the second hour. You can download it off the website or order it on DVD, VHS, CCAM, PAL-M, PAL-N, NTSC, quite a few formats, MP3, audio or CD or video. If you don't have one of those, read a book. Here we go. Sia writes in, S-I-A-H. Now, there's an interesting name. Sia Sifford. I said, I'm trying to, break time. Okay, Sia, hang in there. We'll get you after the break. And Jeff, you'll be next. Stay with us, folks. Be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the final segment of the Creation Science Hour. If you want to call in, I think it's too bad. If you want to AOL Instant Message us to Dr. Dino Live, D-R-D-I-N-O-L-I-V-E, we will be glad to take your questions. Or you can email them, but that will get them into the pile. That will probably take a few days, but we will get it. Sia writes in, "I'm trying to find out on what day God created the insects. I believe they were created on the sixth day because the Bible says the creeping things were created. Second stage of the insect is the larva, and larva creep. My mom does not think it's good enough to prove. Can you help?" Nope, Sia, I can't help. I think your mom is right. There's not enough to prove that. I would say I believe the insects are made on day five or day six. But see, some insects fly, and so it talks about flying things made on day five. So certainly day five or six would be reasonable, I think. Here we go. Jeff writes in, "You claim that the earth was created in six 24-hour days. Has God neither defined or created a measurement that he called an hour? What is the basis for your claim?" So why would a day be 24 hours? Well, that's the way we divide it today. Maybe they had 27 back then. It doesn't matter. He created it in 6 days, regardless of how you slice it up. A pie is a pie, whether you slice it into 4 pieces or 4,000 pieces. Okay, it's still one pie. And a day is a day, whether you slice it into 24 hours or 20,000 hours.
Exactly. And Exodus 20:11 really shows what kind of days he's referring to when he's speaking to the Israelites. He's saying, you know, these are the days. This is your time frame.
And there are numerous references in the Bible to hours. Jesus was crucified, you know, about the ninth hour, about the, you know, sixth hour.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible talks about hours. So there were, and Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? Talking about the daylight part of the day, you know. So, yeah, I think the Bible's pretty clear. It's kind of been apparently established history for as long as anybody can remember. The day has 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of darkness. Must have been something God told Adam. You have an opinion on that, Elijah?
It works for me.
It works for you. Okay.
God said it.
God said it.
That's it.
Amen. Actually, God said it, and that settles it, whether you believe it or not.
That's right.
you're unimportant in the equation. God said it. I believe it. Here we go. Hugo Nod writes in, "Once again, I'm very thankful for the work you're doing. By the way, I have all the pastors in my conference viewing their own set of creation seminar videos after showing them a viewing of some of your material. So, in South Africa, there are at least 15 pastors serving 5,000 members with your material in their hands. One more reason for mailing you, a website that might attract your interest, since it also deals with creation evolution, done by a converted, the foremost authority in South Africa, Professor Walter Veit, a former evolutionist, an online seminar that might give further evidence for the amazing, further evidence for the evolution science world that the theory is as false as a $3 bill. Search for Amazing Discoveries website. And as usual, Martha Arita, my secretary, printed out a page from AmazingDiscoveries.org. Amazing Discoveries website. Well, Jonathan, we can make a note to check it out, make sure it's doctrinally sound, and we could add that to our list of links, if that'll work. I'll put a note on here to have Jonathan check and add, if it's good. You have to learn early in life to eat the meat and spit out the bones. I don't have to agree with everybody on everything, you know. Nobody's right on everything except me, and there's only one of me to go around, so there you go, Jonathan. Put that in your to-do pile. Of course, in Elijah, you're right on almost everything, aren't you? Close.
No comment.
We'd have Glenn is, ask you about Elijah or ask you about you?
Elijah.
Oh, about Elijah. We don't want to get you guys started. Okay. Harold Stocker.
He doesn't want to do that because then he'd have to ask me about you.
Then, yeah, I'd have to reciprocate. We don't want to do that. Harold Stocker writes in, I believe you see no break between Genesis 1, 1 and 1, 2, and your work is very good, but how did the earth become tohu and bohu, and it seems there could be numerous years between the two? It doesn't seem right that this was the way, and all the planets are pelted with many years of debris strikes. Ooh, Harold, a couple of problems in your thinking here. If you want to approach this from a scriptural perspective, it's pretty simple. The Bible says in Exodus 20:11, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. That's clear. 6 days. Jesus said the creation of Adam was the beginning, Matthew 19:4, Mark 10:6, same thing. I go through that on video number 1 and 2, if you want to watch those, about the gap theory. As far as all the debris strikes on the planets, you're talking about craters on Mercury and craters on the moon, etc., that could have all happened in 20 minutes. With one big catastrophe, or certainly during, you know, a few months long catastrophe as a trail of broken debris comes flying through the solar system and everything runs into it. The shotgun effect. You need to watch my video number 6 for more on that one. Okay, Kelly, Harris, Jonathan, I have a half inch left of in the stack and 6 minutes. I can't talk any faster. If I could, they couldn't understand me any faster, right?
Well, you try to, actually, you listen to the Bible at 3 speed.
Triple speed?
Triple speed. You played it the other day, and it's I have no idea what it was saying, but apparently you do, so I guess if you really train yourself,
you can follow along, you can read it at triple speed on the record player, and we can read the entire Bible at that speed in
34 hours?
About 20 hours.
20 hours.
Yeah. The whole Bible.
It's very
and it's amazing. You get a different, you don't catch all the details, of course, but you just like when you fly over a city, you don't catch all the details, but you get a new picture that is helpful. You get the big picture. You can go on the ground and get the details, okay? I think you ought to study the Bible, you know, verse at a time and chapter at a time, book at a time, and then once in a while, fly over it. You know, read the whole thing in 1 month, and you get a whole new view. Okay, here's Kelly. By the way, coming out, it's available now. We're not building one anymore. We just finished putting the entire Bible on CD at double speed. So if those of you folks that can handle listening to double speed Bible, it's pretty amazing. You almost have to follow along, but really after a while, you'd be surprised. You can actually hear it and comprehend it.
Read by
Alexander Scorby.
Of course, it doesn't sound like Alexander anymore, does it?
Well, we tried to make the tone about the same. You know, they did all kinds of tweaking in the editing department.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like Alexander Scorby on steroids. He's really moving.
In the beginning.
He's pretty slow anyway, but boy, this is so cool. Because now you can read the whole Bible in 28 hours at double speed.
Wow.
So that'll be, I think it's available now. It's not on our website. Is it available?
I haven't heard a thing about it until
you haven't heard a thing about it. Okay. Check with Pavel. I think they were doing some printing for covers or something. If Pavel's out there after you got big staff party tonight. Everybody's gathering out in the gazebo. Here we go. Kelly Harris writes in, the Bible says that he put the firmament between the waters on earth and about right, ? But then God put the sun in the firmament, the two lights. How can you put your water canopy theory there? The water would have been on the other side of the sun. Please respond. Thank you, Kelly. Well, Kelly, the word firmament means expansion, and the Bible says God created the heaven, singular, and the earth in Genesis 1:1. Later, he divided it into three slices, so you got the atmosphere, then a layer of water, because it says in Genesis 1:6-7, he put the water above the firmament. And then as a second heaven, or firmament, which is what we call outer space, where the sun, moon, and stars are. So the sun is in the firmament, but it's in the second one out there. Your neck really hurts, doesn't it, John? Want me to crack it, adjust? I can do chiropractic work.
We can try.
Straighten you right out. Okay. And then there's a third heaven mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Apparently that's where Paul lives. Psalm 148 talks about the waters that be above the heavens. There may still be water beyond the stars. I've often wondered if this entire thing that we see, all these billions and zillions of stars out there, is in one of those little glass balls that God keeps on his dresser and he picks it up and shakes it once in a while, you know? See if anybody's alert down there. Okay, Samuel writes in, Dr. Hovind, or whoever can reply, I was just wondering whether or not you could simply give an answer to this question. Recently, I've been engaged in some creation evolution debates at school, and thankfully I've read Fard Abu Rahm's book called And God Said, and I've watched two of your DVDs, one on the age of the earth and the other on dinosaurs. Therefore, I was able to answer all those questions put to me, other than the one below. I was told on a recent program that has been shown here in the United Kingdom on TV displaying that Noah's Ark is false. One of the facts that backed up this theory was there's not enough water in the world to flood it. And if there was, where is it now because it's not enough today? It must have disappeared. Oh, Samuel, it's tragic that they were teaching such a stupid lie on television there in the United Kingdom. There's enough water on the earth right now to cover the earth a mile and a half deep.
Drowned everything twice.
You could drown in less than a mile and a half.
Yeah.
You could drown in about 6 inches. A friend of mine that I witnessed to in school, I tried and tried to get him saved. He was on the tennis team with me. He was number three and I was number four. But he was number two and I was number three. I never could quite beat him. Okay, he was good. I tried. Okay. I didn't try hard, but I tried. Okay. But this guy was good at tennis, and he was number two man on our team. Well, he was out with a party, a bunch of kids out drinking or taking drugs or something, and he got stomach cramps from what he was taking, and he doubled over, standing in 3 feet of water in a creek, a bunch of them playing out in the creek. He doubled over holding his stomach and drowned standing up in 3 feet of water. Couldn't lift his head back up. So the bottom line is there's plenty of water out there to drown in, folks, okay? And you could cover the earth a mile and a half deep. You need to watch video 6 and read Psalms 104. Psalm 104 talks about during the flood, the earth was covered with water like a garment. And then it says, the mountains arose and the valleys sank down and the water rushed off. David Jones writes in, have you heard about what is going on in Yellowstone? Or what do you think about it? David, I don't know what you're talking about here. I've been to Yellowstone quite a few times. I think there's some concern that it's getting ready to explode like a big volcano. Don't know. No, obviously hope not, but hey, that stuff happens, okay? If it does, I'd recommend you move before it happens. You might want to not be there. Don't be like, what's his name, Harry Truman, not the president, but Harry Truman lived right on the side of Mount St. Helens. The government came in and said, Harry, this volcano is going to blow. You need to move. He said, I've been here all my life, and I'm staying right here. And he did.
And Old man.
And he is still there, they think. They never found him. Probably under 60 feet of ash and rock, and probably hungry by now. It's been 20-some years. So that's dumb, to know something is going to be destroyed, and you sit there on top of it.
Of course, a lot of people do that today when you're out witnessing to somebody. You can tell them the judgment is coming. You know, it's clear. It's so clear in Scripture. And a lot of people just don't care because the time now is more important to them than their eternity.
Right.
So.
Yep, sad. Okay, Floyd Shepherd, we got 2 minutes left here. Isn't it true that Jesus never existed and was not the first resurrected? Horus was resurrected in 6000 B.C. Was Adam white or black or just a myth? Isn't it true that the Bible is nothing more than astrology stolen by the Europeans from the Egyptians? Number four, his question is, in every movie I've seen about Jesus, it depicts him being white. What happened to his woolly hair? Well, Floyd, interesting questions. The first question, no, it's not true. Jesus did exist, okay? And he was the first one brought back from the dead, who was truly dead. Some people may have, you know, well, actually, no, Elijah, several resurrections. Somebody had asked a question one time. How many people in the Bible were raised from the dead? Interesting question. Well, Jairus' daughter, Lazarus. It turns out, I think there's about 7 people in the Bible that were raised from the dead. Some you wouldn't think of. One guy died in the book of 1 Samuel, I think, and they're burying him, and he touched the bones of Samuel, and he came back to life in the grave. They had a list of all of them. There were some I knew about, but they didn't register with me. Okay, his question, Adam, black or white, or just a myth? Well, he's not a myth. I don't know about black or white. That's a tough question. Nobody knows. Number three, isn't it true that the Bible is nothing more than astrology? No, that is not true. The Bible is God's infallible, inspired, inerrant word, and they didn't steal it from the Egyptians. Okay, the Egyptians might have taken their story from word of mouth, but no, the Bible is God's word, and you ought to believe it and give your heart to the Lord and get saved. As far as Jesus being white, I don't know. He probably was, you know, typical Jewish or Hebrew color, because Judas had to go pick him out of the crowd with a kiss. If he was some strange color that not native to that area, they would have said, oh, go get the white guy. And they didn't do that. So it was, he was ordinary guy. Looked like ordinary people at that time. Okay, here we go, folks. If you want to AOL list of messages, it is too late. We're out of here. And if you want to call in, that's also too late. But tomorrow, we won't have program Monday. Jonathan, you're doing it. So call in Monday for Jonathan. Join us, folks. Then come to the debate in California. See you then. Bye-bye.